verses that we just heard read from John's Gospel. As we begin tonight, it is a good day to think about light in darkness. Today is the shortest day, and so the darkest day of the year. So let's think about light in darkness for just a moment. It's an image you're going to see everywhere at Christmas time, isn't it? The joy of coming into a warm house, in out of the cold and the dark. The adverts at the moment are full of home fires burning and the darkness outside. It's the same in the Christmas carols that we've been singing just now. Loads of them set at night, aren't they? Oh, holy night, silent night. It came upon the midnight clear while shepherds watch their flocks by night. All of them speaking of joy and hope and light coming in the midst of darkness. It's a picture that makes Christmas really special for lots of us, something we get excited about. The question, though, I want to think about this evening with you for a few moments is, what kind of a light does Christmas bring in the darkness? What kind of a light do we have to offer this evening? I would guess that for most of us, Christmas really feels just like a brief break from the darkness. A few days of holiday, a bit too much food, some average TV, and then it's gone. If Christmas brings any kind of light into our lives, it's the kind of light you get from a firework or a sparkler in your hand. It's a joy for a moment, there's some oohs and ahs, and then it's gone. Maybe that's something you're aware of this Christmas, a sense that Christmas doesn't seem to make all that much difference. There'll be some good meals, there'll be a few twinkly lights, but they won't really change anything. January will be just as it was before. But what I want to show us this evening is that there is a version of Christmas that really does bring light into the darkness. It's the story that John tells in John chapter 1. As you heard that reading, it doesn't sound all that Christmassy, maybe. You'll find no shepherds there, you'll find no wise men. But it is really taking us to the heart of Christmas. Three things I want us to see. First of all, in the beginning, there was light. Let me read you the opening verses again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. What are we reading? We are reading the thoughts of one of Jesus' very best friends, someone who knew him up close. And now he's writing what we call a gospel. It's a biography. It's trying to help other people understand, what is the meaning of Jesus? What did his life mean? And as he tries to think, how do I best start explaining what Jesus means to people? He thinks the best way is to echo the very first book of the Bible. You might know that the Bible opens with these words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, telling you about how this world came into being. But what John is going to do is take us one step further back. Even further back, to know that before God created the world, there was God. There was God, and there was his word, and this word was full of light and truth. Now, I know that some of this might sound a little unfamiliar to us, but it's actually something that most of us assume, that as we look at the world, there is some meaning and some truth and some beauty in the world. It's there. Those things are real. We had an ancient Greek here this evening and asked them, what is that thing in the world that gives the world meaning and purpose and light and beauty? He would have said, logos, word. And I think that's why John uses the word word here. In the beginning was the word, to tell you that idea, the question of what brings light and purpose and meaning and truth into the world, it's Jesus, the one through whom God made all things. He is the one who gives meaning and light and truth in the world. In the beginning, there was light. Now, I realize, of course, that not many people would think that way. If some of us this evening imagined what was there in the beginning, we would just say, cold, dark space, nothing. That's what was there. In the beginning, there was simply nothing. That would mean, of course, that in the end, the universe is only a cold and dark and indifferent place to us. All of those things that we say about truth and love and light, they're really just little fires that we're building in the darkness, but just stories that we've made up. But what John wants you to know is that you're right. There is truth, there is beauty, there is love, and those things matter. Those things are real because in the beginning, there was light. God was there. In the beginning, there was light. Second, we need to know that darkness has fallen over the world. That's how John will go on to describe the world that we're in. God himself is light, but darkness has fallen over the world. Again, if we want to understand what that means, we need to realize John is thinking about lots of other parts of the Bible. In our first reading, we heard one of them, Isaiah chapter 9, that speaks about how we live in darkness and under the shadow of death. Such a powerful image to think of that great shroud or that great shadow that hangs over every living thing. The way that all of us feel like our lives fall under that shadow as they go on. That childhood might feel for most of us like a place of light and joy and fun. But then as you move on through life, the shadows start to lengthen. The sunset comes into view. And we find ourselves raging against the dying of the light. Darkness speaks of death in the Bible that has come into the world. It also speaks of evil, just like we use the language of darkness to speak about evil in the world. Don't need to convince you that that is true. There is war, and there is hatred, and there is greed, and there is injustice. And that darkness that we see out there is not a darkness that we are entirely apart from either. Jesus will help you see that as you read on through what John tells us about his life and his teachings. He will want us to see that we, all of us, make a contribution to that dark. You find that, don't you? Constantly surprised about what you're capable of, the thoughts that you can have, the words that you can use. That sense that we must keep those things hidden to some degree, because it would be too embarrassing for them to come out. John speaks about how darkness has fallen over the world. There is suffering, there is evil, there is death. What do we do with that at this time of year? Well, most of us, I think, are going to spend our lives recognizing that that is there, but trying our best to ignore it. And we do that for a couple of reasons. One is because we just don't want to admit that there is something wrong with us. We would just rather try and hide that away from ourselves, from each other. Something that Jesus speaks about just a bit later in John's Gospel. He says that light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We would rather live a little more in the shadows because we know that not everything that we do would stand up to the light. That our lives are like the kind of nightclub, that when the lights are down, looks okay in there. But go in on Sunday morning, turn the lights on, and you're right, that carpet was strangely sticky. And nothing here looks good when the lights are on and the windows are open and the light exposes things. Just the same in our lives. We ignore the darkness because we know we would be exposed and we're afraid of that. But I would guess that most of us this Christmas as well are going to ignore some of those things, and you're sitting there thinking, this isn't very Christmassy. Why are we talking about death and suffering and evil? Lots of us will just try to push those things away because we simply don't think there's anything that can be done about them. The problems of this world just feel so beyond us. The darkness is just unimaginable when you go looking for it. We'll struggle even to make some progress in our own lives. If we started to admit and open up about the struggles that we have, we think there'd only be judgment, there'd only be shame for us. So it feels hopeless. The world is a mess, we are a mess, and there's no use raging against the dying of the light. John teaches us that darkness has fallen over this world, and not to try to pretend that it hasn't. The wonderful news of Christmas, though, is that you can look that darkness right in the eye. As one phrase that's really stuck with me that I read recently, Christmas gives us an opportunity to take an inventory of the darkness. We can look at all of the darkness that there is in the world and still find hope. And it's because God doesn't leave the world alone in that darkness. He has sent his Son into it that we might find life and light. Jesus speaks about how he is the light of the world. Whoever follows me, Jesus says, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. A little later, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus wants to bring us in out of the dark. And again, that is a wonderfully rich picture once we understand it, the thought of what it means to come into the light. We said that death is this great shadow that hangs over the world. And Jesus says that our lives don't have to be simply that slow fading out, that burning down of the candle. Our lives don't have to be a story of day passing into night. But as you read on in John's Gospel, you realize that Jesus himself has the power over death. And it is possible that after we die, we might live again and live forever. I know that death for many of us just feels like the final act, the final fact, the final unmovable thing. But read on in the life of Jesus and you will find hope even in the face of that. That evil that there is in the world, the great promise of Jesus coming is that one day he will deal with all of that evil. It will come to an end. The Prince of Peace will rule. And then there's one more beautiful way of understanding what it means that we might come into the light. And it's the last verse that we heard read from John just a moment ago. What has Jesus done? He has come into this dark world as its light. Here's what he's come to offer, verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It is the most amazing offer that to come into the light means to come into his family. It means that we can be free to admit those things about ourselves because this God who is full of life and is full of light is also full of mercy and isn't going to expose us and hold us up to ridicule or judgment, but is going to forgive us and bring us back into his family so that we can start again, we can have a new life. There is one Christmas advert in all of the Christmas adverts that I've seen over the years that I think captures this most wonderfully. It's John Lewis, and it's from a few years ago now, but you might remember this one. You see originally a middle-aged guy skateboarding, and he's terrible at it, but he keeps practicing, and everywhere he goes, he's practicing skateboarding. And you're not quite sure where this is going, but it looks for all the world like a midlife crisis. Here's a guy who's just ignoring things that he should be doing and trying to be cool again. But then you slowly realize what's actually happening. You realize that this is a family who are about to take in a foster daughter who is mad keen on skateboarding. And what this guy is doing is injuring himself very frequently so that when she comes, she can feel at home here. This is the story of a father who is doing everything he can to go out and take that little girl and make her feel at home in his family. Friends, that is the message of Christmas. That God has sent his Son into the darkness that he might lead us back out again into the light, into his family. It's the message of Christmas. It's nothing like those firework versions of Christmas that quickly flash and then disappear. Around this room are people whose lives have been utterly changed by that knowledge that there is a God who is the source of all light and life and love. People who've come to realize that there is darkness in the world and there is darkness in us. But we needn't pretend that that's not there. We can come to God knowing that he has first come to us. He has come into this world in the person of his Son, that we might be brought back into the life, that we might be brought back into the light, that we might be brought back into his family. We would love to share that more with you. We talk about these things Sunday by Sunday here at 10:30. You would be welcome any time to come along. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask tonight, come and talk to me. Ben will talk a bit more about other things that you could pick up and take away and read, including John's Gospels, those biographies, those accounts of Jesus' life, so that you can hear for yourself what Jesus has to say to us. But just as we close, a moment's quiet to reflect, and then I'm going to lead us in a prayer that the church for centuries has prayed on this day, on the shortest and darkest day, speaking of Jesus. But a moment of quiet, and then we'll pray. A prayer then that speaks of Jesus as the day spring, as the rising sun. O rising sun, you are the splendor of eternal light and the sun of justice. O come and enlighten those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Amen.